huge blessing to you. It is something that our church preaches and emphasizes that I believe a lot of churches don't like to talk about this subject. A lot of churches don't like to really acknowledge these things. In fact, a lot of churches think that the things I'm going to talk to you about today have passed away. They're no longer for us. But we are a church that believes the full gospel. And we believe that the same thing God did 2,000 years ago, He's willing to do in our lives today. Amen? We're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit today and the role they play in our lives of being Christ's witnesses. How many of you know that's what we've been talking about for several weeks now, about the importance of us being witnesses? And what we've been focusing on over these first few weeks is the power that we have to be Christ's witnesses. Amen. Now, how many of you know I can have a lamp, but if I don't have any power, that lamp isn't able to do what it was designed to do, right? We need the power, and the power is the promised Holy Spirit. And so what we've spent a lot of time talking about is how He is that power, how we need to be endued with that power. But we've also learned about some specific ministries that the Holy Spirit has that even us charismatic Pentecostal believers are a little bit ignorant of. And we learned that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict, to be a counselor, to be a comforter, to be a strengthener, to be an advocate, an intercessor, all of these various things that Jesus pictured to us that the Holy Spirit wants to get involved in our life in, and all of these things point towards us being the best witness possible. I mean, think about it with the whole conviction part. We're called to be witnesses, and He's called to be the convictor. So when we work together with the Holy Spirit and we simply testify to the things Christ has done for us, to the things we've seen Christ do in others, and we share those things, then we release the power of the Holy Spirit into that person we're telling's life to do the conviction, to then start doing a work on their heart. And it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to repentance. Amen. So the Holy Spirit does all this stuff in our life to enable people to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what I talked about last week was, arguably, what's the most important thing that the Holy Spirit needs to be doing in our life in order to make us a witnesses. And somebody help me. What is that He needs to be producing in our life? Oh, I'll preach it again if y'all and somebody don't get it. It's the fruit of the Spirit, praise God. Amen. Do you remember when Jesus said concerning us that you have you've got false teachers out there in wolves and sheep's clothing? And what did He tell us? How would we recognize them? By their fruit. Well, if that's how we recognize the bad kind of people out there, how are we going to recognize the good kind? By our fruit. And Jesus taught us in John chapter 13 that this is how everybody's going to know that we are Christ's disciples. By how? The love we have for one another, which is fruit number one. Amen? And we learned last week that it's not just love, it's joy. When you have the joy of the Lord exhibited in your life, man, that's attractive to people. When you got peace in your life, that's attractive to people. When you have the goodness of God being exhibited in your life, that's attractive to people. Didn't He say over in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 that it's the goodness of God that will lead men to repentance? Now, it's not that they're going to see the goodness of God in him. They're going to see the goodness of God in you. And when they see that goodness of God in you, it's attractive to people. They're seeing God in you. It's been well said that you might be the only Bible some people will ever read. Amen. And the Bible teaches us that we are living epistles read and known by all men, right? So it's important that we are exhibiting God's fruit in our life so that they can get a glimpse of God. They can get an idea of who this God we say we serve is like. But those nine fruit of the Spirit aren't the only thing that make us good witnesses. There's another group of nine things the Holy Spirit's supposed to be producing in our lives, and that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you got your Bibles, turn them over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This might be where your pages are stuck together if you've come from that church, because people don't like to talk about these verses, right? But how many of you know it's New Testament, it's in there, it's for us. And our God is still doing these same things in and through our lives today. Amen? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I will let you know this. I'm going to go through these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? I have done a much more in-depth teaching on this. So if you want more information on this, you want it in a little bit more detailed form, I can point you in the right direction. But this morning, the goal is to just basically teach you how these nine things make us better witnesses, okay? Now, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, right there, if you go back to verse 1, when he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant," you know what's interesting is whenever the Bible tells you to not be ignorant concerning something or not be deceived concerning something, you know what you find out? Those are some of the things that people are the most deceived and ignorant about. Thus, the exhortation not to be ignorant concerning them. The majority of the church out there is very ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. But we shouldn't be. In fact, what's interesting is the word that's used for ignorant here is the Greek word agnoia, where we get our English word agnostic from. What's an agnostic? Well, an agnostic is somebody that just basically don't know. They hadn't made their mind up whether they believe there's a God or not. They're somewhere in between a believer and an atheist. An atheist doesn't believe there's a God. A believer does believe there's a God. And an agnostic is mixed in there somewhere in the middle. How many of you know we should not be agnostics when it comes to spiritual gifts? We shouldn't be, "Well, I just don't know about these things." We should be on top of the subject. We should be absolutely knowledgeable concerning these things so that when somebody comes and asks us, "What was that?" we're able to tell them, "Oh, that was a word of knowledge, baby. That was prophecy. That was working of miracles. That was one of these gifts." And so we need to be on top of the subject concerning this subject of spiritual gifts. Now, what's interesting is when you look at this in your Bible, it doesn't really bring this out by the screen, but if you look at the phrase spiritual gifts, you'll find that the word gifts is in italics in your Bible. You notice that? You know why that is? It's because it's not in the original manuscript. So really what Paul said was, "Now concerning spirituals," plural. And I think a better translation would be spiritual things. So when he's talking about these gifts, which he goes on to describe in the rest of these verses, he's actually talking about spiritual things. Now, why is this so important? Because there's a lot of Christians out there that think that you can be spiritual with an absence of these gifts in your life. No, you can't. They think you can be spiritual just because you love people, just because you've got these other fruit of the Spirit in your life, or because you're a good person. But no, if you want to truly be spiritual, you're going to have some of this charisma in your life, which happens to be the title of my message today, Christian Charisma. Because this word gifts is actually used in one of the preceding verses, and when you look it up, guess what the Greek word is for gifts? The word where we get our English word charisma from. And I'm not going to go into detail to share these things with you, but there's actually several verses that talk about this same word gifts, charisma, that you've already got it. Every believer is gifted. Every believer has charisma. Now, how many of you know me having some charisma in my life might make me a better witness, wouldn't it? Because what is charisma? If somebody's got charisma, how would we describe it? Well, they got a flair. They've got something about them that's just a little bit attractive to other people. Usually people in positions of leadership have this virtue attributed to them that they have charisma because they're attractive to people. They draw people to themselves. Well, spiritual gifts make you more attractive to people. They make you have more of a flair to people. Now, I know a lot of people, they like to shun this because they look at people like us in churches like this and they think we're weird because we believe in these things. Well, I think they're weird because they don't believe in these things. I mean, if you know, it's in the Bible. You know, being spiritual does not mean you're spooky. I know a lot of people, we've been around, and we've gone to some of those churches, and they think being spiritual, and they roll their eyes back. You got somebody, oh, will you pray for me, brother? Sure, let me have your hands. And their eyes roll back in their head like the Undertaker on WWF. And then they start running off, Runda Sundai, Tamabota. And it freaks people out. But to be spiritual does not mean that you're weird. To be spiritual means that you're not carnal. Not carnal, which is what? To be carnal means to be ruled by the senses. In fact, you go look the word carnal up, it's where we get our phrase for it. Man, I'm probably going to lose most of you now because you'll be thinking about lunch. But if you go to get Mexican today, what are you going to order, sir? I'd like some chili con carne. What is chili con carne? It's chili with meat. So it's just basically being inclined to the five physical senses that we have. You're led by what you see, by what you hear, by how you feel. If I'm spiritual, I'm not led by those things. I'm led by what I believe. Amen. And that's what's being produced in my life. I know the Bible says over there, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 maybe, that talks about how that we are a peculiar people. You ever use it? Look at it. Let's read the verse. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been called special before. But that ain't the same as what God meant by special here. It means different. It means that you are prized, you are precious, because you are in the one who was special originally, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if I've got all this working for me, I'm going to have some spiritual giftings operating in my life. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's pick up in verse 4, and let me quickly go through these with you. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. I want you to notice in those three verses we just looked at, you have the Trinity represented. In verse 4, you got the Holy Spirit who does what? Gives you gifts. In verse 5, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ who gives you your ministry. In verse 6, you've got God the Father who's working behind the scenes in how all those things operate together. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all doing their own specific ministry and function in our lives, still today. And then he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then he goes on to describe these nine gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And then I guess he got tired of saying the same Spirit because he goes on to say, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So you have nine things described here that the Holy Spirit gifts us with that He desires to work in and through our lives. Now, I'm going to break them down into three groups of three. You have the vocal gifts. If you're taking notes, write these down. You got the vocal gifts. You've got the revelation gifts. And you got the power gifts. The vocal gifts are different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and what was the other one? Prophecy. Then you got the revelation gifts, which are the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And finally, you have the power gifts, which are the working of miracles, gifts of healings, and faith, or I like to call it special faith. Amen. Now, vocal gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts. The vocal gifts say something. The revelation gifts know something. And the power gifts do something. Amen. So let's break these down, because these nine gifts and how they work in our life to become a better witness are very important. First one is different kinds of tongues, right? Now, that's probably the one that most people have experienced the most. And I want you to notice the terminology, because the terminology on each one of these is very important. Diversities of tongues, which means different kinds of tongues. Now, most people would interpret that to mean that there are different kinds of languages that people speak in regards to maybe speaking Chinese, Spanish, or whatever. And it could mean that, but I believe he's more referring to different classifications of tongues. How many of you remember over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about, he quickly goes through talking about, if I've got these different gifts working in my life but have not love, it profits me nothing? And one of the ones that he says is, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So what Paul's saying right there is, apparently a believer can speak in the tongues of men, meaning another known language here on this earth that they didn't have any idea of or were privy to, but they can also speak in angelic tongues. Amen. Which is probably the one that we experience the most. Our own personal prayer language. Some people call it your heavenly prayer language. Amen. Now, how many of you know this is how the church got started when it comes to this idea of witnessing? They were up in the upper room, Holy Ghost comes upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and all the people outside heard them speaking in their own native tongue. Amen. Which became a big evangelistic key in that situation. Praise God. How many of you know we should probably be operating a little bit more in that? Now, living here in Macon, Georgia, in the heart of Georgia, you might not have the necessity of speaking in another language. But if you go down into South Georgia, you might have to learn to speak a different language. Angie, you're about the only one that got that. Or go up to New York or whatever, man. There are people speaking all kinds of stuff. So you might need it. I've been to myself in India before, and I've been in situations with many different tongues in India to where, man, in order for me to survive and communicate with somebody, I better do it. And I had to, by faith, speak in other tongues before. A funny story about this is one time I remember I got sent out on my own into the streets to go get myself a Coca-Cola to have for lunch. And I'm going to tell you something. You go to India, you better have something to drink while you're eating. Why? Because the food's so spicy, amen. So I go down there, and I remember I'm standing in line, and in different places, they don't have lanes on the road. You understand that? One of my Indian friends told me this. He said, in England, they drive on the left side of the you drive on the right side of the road. In India, we drive on whatever's left of the road. Well, it's the same thing when you get in line to order something. I mean, I'm standing there politely like I'm supposed to be doing it, and everybody just starts cutting in front of me, holding their rupees and shaking them at the guy. And I realized the only way I'm going to get a Coke is for me to do the same thing. And I don't speak Tamil or any of these other languages, so I got my rupees out, and I started pushing in front of people, and I said, now, I don't know if I was speaking in another tongue, but I got my Coke. He knew what I wanted. I'm just saying today, baby, we need to be operating in some spiritual gifts called tongues. And how about your own heavenly prayer language? Man, this will make you a better witness too, because what does the Bible say? When I pray in an unknown tongue, I edify myself. I build myself up. You think that might make you a better witness? Oh, it'll get you on the frequency of the Holy Spirit, man. You're just in the flow. That's why I like to call tongues the gateway gift. Now, some of y'all that have used and abused before, like myself, will know what I mean by that. There are certain drugs out there that you started out doing, and it led into more stronger, more hard stuff, right? I believe tongues is a lot like that. I found that the more I pray in other tongues, the more I operate in the other gifts. Amen. The more time I spend praying in this unknown tongue, building myself up on my most holy faith, man, it just gets me connected and I start flowing in the rest of these things. To where interpretation of tongues, which is another one, starts flowing. How about this one? Prophecy. Oh, man, prophecy is huge when it comes to witnessing. I mean, because this is, I've seen it happen so many different times. We got a person, never don't know them from Adam. We start ministering to them. Can we pray for you? Sure, we'll pray for you right now. And a group of believers will get all over them. And when we're praying for them, we start seeing pictures. One of the funniest stories I ever heard concerning this, some of y'all might be familiar with Mike and Sherry Kaylor. They've come here and spoke before. And she likes to tell this story all the time, so I'm going to tell it today. She said she was praying for a lady that she didn't know, and this just came up and out while she was praying for her. She said, "Lord, pickle her! Pickle her! Pickle her!" She was like, "What in the world was I saying that for?" The lady, when she heard her say that, goes crazy. So what's wrong with you? They found out that lady, for her livelihood, pickled. She did pickling and jarred them and did stuff like that. So what she heard was, when she said, "Lord, pickle her," what she was hearing was the same reason why you do pickling was what the Lord wanted to do in her. How many of you know that was a gift of prophecy operating in the midst of it? Many different times I pray for people and I'll get pictures or words will come out, and you just got to be obedient to speak them out. But how many of you know it's a great witness and a great testimony to somebody when they know you don't know them and you have something come out of you that you had no idea of knowing? People will then recognize that what you're telling them when it comes to the gospel and your testimony has more legitimacy because they're seeing God knew them through you. Amen. So these vocal gifts definitely help you in what you say to somebody. I like the next category of three. The revelation gifts, which were what? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now, again, you got to pay attention to terminology, because I've run into far too many Christians that say, "Oh, I got that gift." What gift are you, what gift do you got, brother? "I got the gift of knowledge." Or, "I got the gift of wisdom." Or, "I've got the gift of discernment." How many of you know that's not the terminology Paul used there? He said the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. There is no gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, or gift of discernment. I know you run into people and say, "Oh, I got the gift of discernment." And really what they've got is a knack for fault finding and criticism. So if that's you out there that thought you had the gift of discernment, every believer has a certain element of discernment in them, and that's the Holy Spirit helping us. But to be critical and always see the flaws and faults in other people, that's more demonic than it is godly, because that ain't what God does. God doesn't do that with you. Thank God for that. Amen? Love covers a multitude of sins, not exposes them. And if God is love, what's He going to be spending most of the time doing? I mean, He's going to deal with you, and He might have to bring it out through somebody else, but He's definitely going to go through some other steps to try to get through to you for the thing you might be missing it in. Thank God for that. So it's the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Now, when you look the word knowledge up there, it's the word gnosis. That's how you spell it. G-N-O-S-I-S. When you look that word up, it describes having a thorough understanding of something, to know something fully. Okay? So when we're talking about this knowledge here, we don't have gnosis. We don't have the full understanding, the total comprehension of everything God knows. But guess what we can have? A word of that knowledge. Which is what? I might be in a situation to where I need God to give me supernaturally a piece of information that will help me to minister to somebody in any given moment. Amen. I remember the first time I ever operated in this, and I'll tell you later how it happened. I was working at a Christian bookstore in Athens, Georgia. And I know this might be hard for you to believe, but people actually steal things from Christian bookstores. I've actually opened up boxes for Bibles, and Bibles are missing. Well, one day I'm standing in that Bible section, and I'm just straightening it up, doing my job, and I heard the bell ring for somebody coming in, and I was like, I didn't turn for whatever reason, didn't turn to see who it was, and I'm still standing there working, and all of a sudden, a few minutes later, I get this knowing that there were two young men in the back of the store stealing CDs. I'm like, that's interesting. So what do? I act on it, and I sneak up on them. And I go back there, and I walk up as they're putting CDs in their pocket and everything like that. Well, you know what I'd been doing? I'd been diligently seeking for the Lord to have me operate in these gifts more. And it was awesome. And my pastor at this time, the reason why I was even instigated to seek these things, because my pastor was teaching on Wednesday nights at that time on the gifts of the Spirit. So I remember calling him. And I said, Pastor Tony, I got a testimony of what happened at work today. And he said, sure, you can share it. And I show up. And guess what gift of the Spirit he was teaching on that night? Word of knowledge. Amazing God. Amen? So it's a transmission of that thought to me, of something out of the vast knowledge of God. How about the wisdom? How about the word of wisdom? Man, God alone is wise, right? Nobody has any more wisdom than God. Now, we can grow in wisdom ourselves, but boy, it sure is nice when the Lord takes a little bit of His wisdom for a specific situation and puts it in my heart when I need it to minister to somebody. I think a lot of us have operated in that more than we even realize that we have. How about discerning of spirits? Now again, not gift of discernment, but this is the ability to differentiate and distinguish between spirits. Amen. Now, what he's talking about right here is you have God pull the veil back and reveal to you when something you're dealing with in somebody is demonic. Now, somebody might say, Pastor, you're not one of those that believes there's a demon behind every bush, are you? No, I'm not. I believe there's five or six demons behind every bush. Amen. I'm telling you, the spirit world out there is a whole lot bigger and more real than we realize. And if you look in the ministry of Jesus, that he spent the vast majority of his time casting out devils just as much as he was healing people, that shows me there's probably a little bit more of this demonic activity that we might have classified as something else today. In fact, I think a lot of the things that we have put as labels on people, that, oh, they're this, or they have that, is a lot of times demonic. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and say that every single time that somebody says they have that, it is demonic. I think sometimes you can have a physical infirmity, for example, that it is physical, but then sometimes it might be a spirit of infirmity. The fact is, you need this gift of the Holy Spirit to help you to differentiate and distinguish between when it's just something natural and when it's something spiritual. Why? The Bible tells us to put the flesh under and to cast out devils. It doesn't tell us to cast out the flesh and put demons under. So if I am dealing with something that's demonic and I'm simply trying to deal with it like it wasn't, that might be a reason I don't get the results that I need to get. But if I recognize it's demonic, the Lord shows me that, then guess what? I know I got the authority in Christ Jesus to cast that thing out. Amen? Whether it's on me or somebody else. I'm going to tell you, saints, there is a whole lot more to this demonization thing than most people realize. And it's something that we got to recognize and have this gift operating in our lives so that we can operate in the power of God. Amen? Which leads me to the next three gifts, the power gifts, which is what we desperately need more of in our lives. Amen? We need working of miracles, gifts of healings, and faith operating in us. Now, I'm going to start with faith because, again, a lot of people get mixed up on this. Every believer has been given a measure of faith. In fact, it says over in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you have obtained already like precious faith with us, Peter said. You know what that means? Every single believer that calls on the name of the Lord has the same like precious faith that Peter had. Let me say it this way. Every believer has the same faith in seed form on the inside of them that enabled a man like Peter to walk on the water. So you got faith, and faith has to be developed. Like he said to the church of Thessalonica, your faith grows exceedingly. And see, that's generally the problem. We got it in seed form, but we haven't cultivated the ground to allow it to grow. Well, when it comes to this gift of faith, how many of you know there's sometimes you're ministering to somebody where it might not be enough to have the place of faith that you have in your life, right? I might be ministering to somebody and, you know, I haven't developed it. That's when the Holy Ghost can step in and supernaturally impart to you a little sprinkle of the faith God has. How many of you know God has faith? And how many of you know we don't have the same level of faith that God has? Because I hadn't seen anybody in this church creating any planets lately. Right? But he can give you a little bit at a certain time. To where if I'm ministering to somebody and I got somebody in front of me and say, hey, is there something I can pray with you about? And, you know, I'm trying to witness to this person, trying to lead this person to the Lord, and I'm trying to meet their needs at the same time. They say, yeah, I've got this child at home, and this child is just crazy. They're all over the place. I can't control them, and it's just a bad situation. And then all of a sudden, something rises up on the inside of you. Something you didn't even know was there. And it just bubbles up, and you just have this come out of your mouth. It bypasses your mind, praise God. And it comes right out of your mouth that says, by the time you get home and your key touches the door, that child will be delivered of that. Say, what now, what now? I'm like, what'd you say, Lord? And to where you almost kind of have to catch yourself and say, I hope that works. It was God supernaturally giving you this special gift of faith that operates in you in this time to call things that be not as though they were, and that person goes home, sees their child completely delivered, and what do you think it does? It legitimizes everything you shared with them about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Special faith is what it's called. But I believe this faith oftentimes works together with the working of miracles, which is another one that we should be expecting a little bit more in our life, right? How many of you know, man, if we just started seeing some more miracles around us, you are going to have to beat people away from filling this place up. Amen? And it's like that in your life. And don't be going around looking for these gifts in somebody else. We've done too much of that in the church in these past few generations, is that we wait for the super duper. Or the select elect to roll into town and come in and wave their magic wand to bring healing and prophecy and these different things. Those things are needful. You've got the same power living on the inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that enables you to be the answer that you've been looking for in others. Miracles should be a normal part of our life. Amen? How about gifts of healings? You know what's so great about the gifts of healings? Notice the terminology. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. You know, there's a lot of time God will just drop something on you that will enable you to be able to minister to the sick in a specific sickness. Like, I get a lot of really good results with bad backs. I get really good results with legs growing out. Or I get really good results with these other things. If I pray for somebody with cancer, it's like God intervenes, helps me to supernaturally do something that produces results in their lives. Now, All of these gifts, and I quickly went through all of them, need to be in operation in our life, and they're not to the level that we should all be desiring them. Notice the word I said, desiring them. The reason why we don't see more gifts is not because of sin. It's not because of unholiness. It's because of a lack of desire. You know how I can prove that to you? The church of Corinth. They were spiritual babies. They were carnal. They had strife amongst them. There was things Paul had to correct about them. Yet they had so much of a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he had to tell them to do it all decently and in order. How many of you ever gone to a church before where there were so many spiritual gifts happening that you had to say, man, we got to do this decently and in order? There's too many miracles. There's healings happen all the time. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Very few of us have experienced a lot of that, right? They did. Yet they were a carnal bunch. So that shows me our carnality is not what keeps it from happening. It's the lack of desire. 1 Corinthians 12, look at the last verse, 31. Notice what he says at the end of this chapter. We got it on the screen. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, the thing we usually get hung up on about this verse is, well, what are the best gifts? He tells us to earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? My opinion is this. The best gifts are the gifts that are necessary and needful in the specific situation I'm in. How many of you know if I'm dealing with somebody that's sick, prophecy might not be the best gift then. Gifts of healings would be. If I'm dealing with somebody that needs answers, then discernment of spirits might not be the best one. It might be word of knowledge or word of wisdom. So I believe desiring the best gifts would be what? Lord, I want to operate in these gifts in every evangelistic witnessing opportunity I have, because you know the person, you know exactly what they need, and Lord, you know what I need in that specific situation. You're not in this alone. You got a co-laborer with you when you're sharing the gospel with people. And the Holy Ghost, the coach living on the inside of you, will give you answers, special endowments of power, abilities that will cause you to be able to minister and bless that person. But it comes by doing what? Earnestly desiring the best gifts. Now, earnestly desiring. Think about this in your own life. What's the last thing you earnestly desired? Think about it. I mean, we're not talking about some casual case, sarah, sarah. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. This is, I mean, we're talking serious. I'll give you a good example of what it would be to earnestly desire something. If I told Alan Hornaday, Alan, the Lord showed me you've got a treasure chest buried in your backyard somewhere, and it contains in it a couple, $3 million. Worth of valuables. And he believed me and he knew that was from the Lord. Guess what's going to happen? Alan and Michelle are going to go home earnestly desiring and seeking after these treasures. I promise you, they probably would cancel their plans they had for today, and there would be a seeking with all their heart after these things. And doesn't the Bible teach us something like this? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open for you. If you search for something with all your heart, then you will find it. Hunger and thirst after righteousness and you will be filled. Do I need to keep going? That's enough verses to let us know that one of the main ways we experience righteous things is by hungering and thirsting after them and desire them in our life. You familiar with the verse over in 1 Thessalonians that talks about quench not the Holy Spirit? Now, how many of you have ever heard before quenching the Holy Spirit is your sin? your ungodliness, and all of that wickedness you've allowed in your life. You better eradicate it, or you'll quench the Holy Spirit. That's not what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. Because I got news for you. If the Holy Spirit is freaked out by your sin, He wouldn't live in any of us. Because you're not as perfect as you thought you were. Amen. But what I'm saying is the quenching of the Holy Spirit, think of the terminology. Quench means to dampen a flame. It's like throwing a wet blanket over a fire that's meaning to be burning bright. So what happens is the reason why the Holy Spirit gets quenched in our own individual lives, in church settings, meetings like that, is because somehow, some way, He's being quenched. And what I mean by that is we're not fanning the flame. We're not letting it burn bright because we're not desiring it and pursuing it and seeking after it with all our heart. I can guarantee you, when I went through that stage of my life where I was like, man, the gifts of the Spirit are coming alive to me and I'm going to start seeking them. And I was every day praying, Lord, I want to operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I want to operate in all these things. Which, here's something, let me give you a little side piece of instruction. You know, when it talks about earnestly desiring the best gifts. One of the things that I found in my life was, when I wasn't so sure about what that best gift thing was, what I found was is that the Holy Spirit would put on my heart specific gifts to seek. And while I was like, man, I want working of miracles and all these different things, the Lord kept saying, no, I want you to focus in on word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And what I've come to learn now is, those are gifts that usually come together with the call God's got on my life. There's a lot of times there are certain gifts that work together with specific callings. Some of you in here are more inclined to the prophetic. And so prophecy would be maybe the best gift for you to be seeking. But my point is this, is that in specific situations, as I was seeking it with all my heart and it became a priority in my life to where the desire was there, I saw more of a manifestation of them in my life. Amen? How many of you know it'll work for you that way too? I don't care who you've been this past week, what you've got going on in your life, if this becomes a priority in you to where you seek it like Alan would be seeking that treasure, you're going to find it. It's going to happen. And you will fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. You know, over in that scripture in 1 Thessalonians, let me quickly tell you this. When he says, quench not the Holy Spirit, you know what he said right after that? Don't despise prophecies. Now, our terminology that we use in the world today, if I say I despise something, what do you hear? I hate it. I'm completely against it. That's not the way God sees the word despise. Do you remember the story of Esau? Where he traded his birthright? For what? Something carnal, food, whatever. It was Carrabba's soup is what it was. It was the sausage and lentil soup. And he traded his birthright for this. And do you know what the Bible tells us in Genesis? Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, how many of you know he wasn't against his birthright? He didn't hate it. He didn't see it as something terrible I need to get rid of. He simply didn't esteem it to the level that he should have. Thus, he despised it. So if I despise prophecies, you know what it is? It's not me being against them and hating it. It would be me simply not esteeming and valuing that gift in my life and everything's the way I should. Right? You remember what the Lord said over in 1 Samuel? He talked about how those that honor me, he said this. He said, those that honor me, I will honor. But those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. All right? So what's he saying right there? If you don't value him by honoring him, then what's going to be the natural byproduct? You'll be lightly esteemed by him. But if I honor him, and I honor his gifts, And I value these things we're talking about today with all my heart. And I say, Lord, more than anything else, I'm willing to miss lunch to seek you for this. And if I start valuing these things and seeking after them more than I do my necessary food, this is why fasting comes into play with a lot of these things, you start finding them. You start discovering them. You start manifesting these things. This is where the power of God is going to come from. When you and me begin to esteem these gifts and desire them and seek them in my life, what's that going to do? It's going to make me an awesome witness to somebody. Because not only am I a fruity Christian, fruit of the Spirit, but I got the gifts along with it. Amen. I'll end with this. Say Joey and Sissy Ballou have invited Pastor Trey over to their house for lunch today. And, you know, of course, when they invited me, and that's the way they presented the invitation, Pastor Trey, would you like to have come lunch? Oh, sure. And I show up with Shannon and Levi. Now, how many of you know, what does the Bible say about the wife is that she is a gift from God, right? And what is the child? It is your produce. It's your fruit. And I show up with Shannon and Levi, and I'm not going to pick on Sissy. I'll pick on Joey. And Joey says, Pastor Trey, you can come in and sup with us, but that wife of yours and child of yours are going to have to stay outside. Guess what he just did? He just rejected me. Because if you reject my gifts and my fruit, you reject the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's why we've got to learn to esteem all of these things, fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, at a higher level, because you can't have part of the Holy Spirit that you want and not the other ones. Oh, I want people to love and I want people to have peace and joy, but don't you come in here speaking all that tongue stuff. You're not going to tell with the Holy Ghost what to do. Let him come in with what he's got, because he might know what you need. Lord, I want it all. Bring the whole kid and the kid and caboodle in with you. Because I want everything you've got. And that includes the wife and the kids. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor Trey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God's so good to us. Thank you for that thunderous applause. Completely unsolicited. And without shame. No, it's the Holy Ghost that delivers to us these things. And he knows what we need. Amen? We need these gifts in our life. Amen? Say it with me. Say, I need these gifts in my life. It's going to make you a better witness, baby. People need the dinner bell ring. Amen? Now, that's... The gifts are not going to give people faith. It's the Word of God that produces faith in people. But the gifts ring the dinner bell that open people up to the Word of God that you'd be speaking to where the faith would come. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your Word and for your truth. And, Father, that you have made the wife and the kids available to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we don't just want you in the element of just drawing sinners to repentance and leading people to you. We need fruit in our life. We need gifts in our life. We desire to have all of these things working in and through us so that we can be the kind of witnesses you've called us to be. The Holy Spirit is much more precious to us, and we want to desire and esteem Him at the level He is worthy to be esteemed. Amen. Amen. We'll have prayer ministers up here. If anybody needs prayer today, we would love to minister to you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, what a great time to do it today. Hallelujah. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's where this whole journey starts. And if you are filled with the Spirit, pray in other tongues. Make a commitment to pray in tongues in your life and let it be the gateway into the rest of these gifts in your life. God bless you guys. We love you, and we'll see you next time.